peace on earth, goodwill to man. You've heard that around Christmas time. I've chose that word peace to speak to you today. And there's a story about peace. See if you put this light off. I don't know if that helps or not. Hey, there you go. Let's begin today with a story and a song about peace. Can I at least tell you this, the story? Right here it is. Anybody want to guess a story about peace? Peace in the Valley. It can be peace. The story and the song I wanted to at least mention. The Christmas Truce. Has anybody ever heard the story of the Christmas Truce? Bill has, but he's not going to tell you. I'm going to get to you. And then the song I was singing, it's called The Pipes of Peace. Why? Because The Pipes of Peace sort of tells the story of the Christmas Truce. On December 24th, around noon on Christmas Eve, I got a story that in the trench warfare, horrible conditions. You'd dig a big ditch and get in. All it was a rut. Somebody told me a rut's a grave with the ends knocked out. That's about what this was. Mud was so thick that it would pour down rain. They would get what they call trench foot. It would be like the worst case of athlete's feet you could ever imagine, because they'd sit there with their ankles, probably after their knees sometimes, in mud, sticking out occasionally to shoot at the Germans that are across. So the British are fighting the Germans. I believe this is in Belgium, and it occurred. On this particular day, for some odd reason, one of the Germans started singing a song called Silent Night. Perhaps you've heard it. The British recognized that, started singing the song back. One of the Germans put his head out, and he got out of the trench. British guy got out of his trench, and for some reason that day they walked close to each other, and as they got closer, then they shook hands and they called a truce for about 24 hours. In other words, they had what? They had peace. Nobody wanted to kill each other. The battling stopped, and for some odd reason, they didn't want to fight anymore. That reminds me of us sometimes. It's like my mama used to say, she had five boys. You can imagine where this come from. Not that we ever argued. I was angelic, but my brothers were horrible. They were just, every once in a while, mama would just find us arguing. She would just say, can y'all just give me what?
Peace. 5 minutes.
5 minutes of peace. I have a feeling she didn't really need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But I believe she'd go in there and lock the door sometime. Mom, we know you're in there. We've been fighting. You know, we'd just tell her that. Anyway, just give me 5 minutes of peace. And I just quit arguing for that long. But Mom, we're arguing about something important. It's the roster in the New York Yankees. Life and death hangs in the balance. We've got to argue. Give me 5 minutes of peace. You ever said that? God, you need peace. My mind is just, we sit down at night, my mind is just going, you know, like that. Well, these people were shooting bullets at each other, and enough's enough. They crawled out of the holes and said, let's stop shooting. Next thing you know, they were sharing pictures and sharing stories, and it's funny how the top down, the Germans, the top down from them said, the next time you call a truce, guess what we'll do? What's the worst thing they could do?
Kill them.
Yeah, we'll kill you. Next time you do that, you'll be executed. British weren't quite as bad. What's the worst thing a soldier could go through in the army without dying, I guess? He could be court-martialed. British said, well, court-martial, we'll kick you out of the service the next time you do something crazy. Next time y'all try to have peace, we're going to get mad at you. We're out here killing each other. It's a horrible war. We don't like it. But for that, some stories, I don't know, I looked up several things on this. Some people said even somebody found a ball one place and played a little soccer. But if I had a picture of my girlfriend, you had one, we'd sort of trade pictures and just say, this is my family, that's my family. And suddenly enemies became peace. Somebody did a song called The Pipes of Peace. I don't know if I could. I don't do it today. Anybody ever heard of a guy named Paul McCartney? Yeah, I used to go to school. No, just kidding. His song sort of epitomized this story. Would you find Matthew chapter 2? I'm going to give you something. Anybody ever heard the Christmas story? Sure you have. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to deal some verses around peace. And these guys, pretty rugged right here. Look at this. Imagine the British and the Germans speaking together. And that was Paul McCartney's video. That they come out, they shake hands, and of all things, they need peace. God felt the world needed some peace. They were in turmoil. Matter of fact, his people had went through 400 silent years. If you've got Matthew right there between the Old Testament and New Testament, 400 years God was silent. He just, people thought, where are you, God? And he says, I'm still here. It's just like you've chosen not to follow me anymore. And so I'm going to wait until just at the right time. He's going to make sure he checks his what? Appointment book, and it's time for Jesus to show up. So I just think we read Luke chapter 2. I didn't want to neglect this, and I'm not going to bore you with all these, but let me show you at least a little bit. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, first book, first chapter, first verse of the New Testament. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Abraham, man, that's Father Abraham. He's a patriarch that we all know. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Abinadab. Abinadab, the father of Nashon. Some of you who may think you'll have children soon, remember this chapter right here, because we've got loads of good children's names in it. Nashor, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, recognize him, whose mother was Rahab. Now, what was Rahab? What is she known for in the Bible? Rahab the what? Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot, a prostitute, was in Jesus' lineage. Y'all can use anybody, can't you? So don't use that as an excuse to say, I don't know if I'm good enough for God. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. There's only two books in the Bible named after women, Ruth and Esther. Right there is a star of the show, too. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Well, from Abraham to David, I won't give you all the other names. That's 14 generations. Matter of fact, you read verse 17. Then there were 14 generations from all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile of Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. And the birth of Jesus Christ happens in this way. But let me show you. Read verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So Joseph, I think we sort of downplay his role sometimes and think, well, I know Mary's highly favored. Actually, Joseph is in the lineage of Joseph's great, great, great. Imagine him dropping some names at a Christmas party. My great, 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 and you keep going back. Grandfather was who? Abraham. Was Isaac. Was Jacob. King David. 28 generations ago, King David. Wow. Joseph's a pretty special guy. Yeah, I think we just sort of feel like he just was a filler there, you know, sort of like a newspaper article. We need some little space filled up. Let's put Joseph. No, Joseph was a pretty good guy. Joseph and working together with Mary, they became the parents of Jesus. Now, wouldn't you love to have peace in life? I think Joseph was a righteous man. The Bible says that. I'm going to. The birth of Jesus Christ, keep reading verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph getting used that he was going to be a dad, and yet he didn't know anything about it. If he was, he's going to be an adopted dad. Because Joseph, her husband, was a what kind of man? He was just. He was righteous. That means in our everyday language, he was a believer. He was looking forward to the Messiah. He was a righteous man and did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He would have pushed the button long enough. What did the people in John chapter 8 who brought the adulterous woman forward, what did the Pharisees say we can do? We can kill her. According to the Mosaic law, we can kill her. Joseph is a righteous man. He's kind. He's tender-hearted. He doesn't want Mary harmed. He's like, I'm just not going to marry you if that's the case, but let's just public. I'm not going to do that publicly to disgrace you. We'll just get a quiet divorce, and, you know, let's just, it's all right. But an angel showed up in a dream and said, no, I want you to take Mary as your wife. And he's like, okay. After he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. There's those angels again. Angel appeared to Mary. Angel appeared to Zacharias. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph here and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God's about to leave heaven and show up at earth. And God's called God the Father. He's sending God the Son. And Jesus is called the Prince of what?
Peace.
He's going to show up and bring peace to earth for the first time. Excuse me, true peace. Wouldn't you love to have peace in your life? Consider this. Phrases you've heard are symbols you've seen. Has anybody ever heard this phrase about peace? Peace of mind. You know, I talked to a lady the other day, and she said, I've lost my eyesight. She has to go real slow through the house. And yet she said, but my mind is what? Very sharp. And she said, I guess if I had to choose, I would rather have what? Peace of mind than what? My eyesight. Because some people are sitting in a hospital and got great eyesight, but they don't know who they are. My grandmother, Moser, called her Grandma, I don't know if y'all ever, her husband was Edgar Moser. I was named after him. And Grandma worked in the post office, and as she got older, she didn't go to a retirement home. She went to our living room, and we set up a bed in the living room. That's where Grandma stayed for a long time. I didn't mind that. Hey, Grandma. You know, we just talked to her, but as she got older, her mind would go. And I remember she had this little King Edward cigar box. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And she put a rubber band around it. That was the cash box at the Gold Bond post office. Nobody ever breaking that thing with it. And she would flip it up and keep. And so we gave her a cigar box, and we put that rubber band around it because she was asking for that one day. And the next thing I know, she'd keep that close. She said, make sure you keep this. And she said, and make sure you tell your Uncle Frank that the mail's here. Uncle Frank had been dead for about 15 years. And she was just delivering the mail in her mind. And I appreciated her, loved her pieces, and right up to the day she went home. But it was like her mind was gone. Sight was pretty good. But her mind was she peaceful? I think. On the days that she felt like she was late getting the mail up, she wasn't real peaceful. But you want peace of mind, don't you? How about this one? Anybody ever heard this? World peace. I wish peace just had world. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Jesus is going to have to come back a second time for us to do that. I'm wondering. Number three, has anybody ever heard this? Even the lost world say, R.I.P., rest in peace. A week or so ago, this guy that, you are so beautiful. Joe Cocker sang that song. Joe Cocker died about a week or so ago, and you could see it. Rest in peace, Joe Cocker. Well, it's sort of like, it's sort of late then if you want to rest in peace. People hope that people are resting in peace, I guess. If you got Jesus in your heart, yeah, you can rest in peace. I don't know, what else could you rest in? Turmoil? Prince of Peace. So obviously you've heard of that. Or how about this? Make peace before I die. You ever seen those army movies? Someone's getting ready to die and they say, go call the what?
Priest.
Call the priest. He's got to come in here real quick. Let's make sure this person makes peace before he dies. Peace with who? I don't know if it's peace with everybody else. It may be peace with God. Say, okay, now I can go into eternity because I'm at peace. Let's do that way early before our death, then, okay? Maybe you've seen these symbols. See this riddle, excuse me. No Jesus, no peace. Anybody ever heard that? Or there's no Jesus in your life, and there's no peace in your life. If it is, it's short term. Everybody's seen the dove with the olive leaf. That's a symbol of peace. This thing, anybody ever seen that before? He's like, well, it was invented in the 60s. No, actually, the British Army did that. That was sort of like talking about the dangerous warfare, chemical warfare and stuff. That was a symbol that they put on. And, of course, everybody's seen this. Maybe you've probably seen that. Winston Churchill does it. I guess it stands for victory. But everybody wants peace. Consider this next thing, then. As we've talked about, wouldn't you love to have peace in your life? Let me give you a couple of verses. Truly today, if you say, I'm in turmoil or I'm just uneasy. How many of you have been, and my hand's up with yours, how many of you have woke up before worrying about something a little bit? I have too. I wake up and think, Lord, did I do this? Front room doesn't look good. Backyard needs to look. God's just probably first shaking his head in heaven. What are you doing? You can't do anything about those things right this second. You need to get you a good night's rest. We'll work on this tomorrow. But the devil is a mastermind. He wants you to fret about your past Worry about the future. And God's not like that at all. I wonder if Jesus ever walked around and go, I just don't have a home to live in. I just don't know what I'm going to pay. Y'all calm down. What are we going to do, Jesus? We got 5,000 people. That's just the men. We've really got about 15,000 people up here that have no food yet. Settle down. I'll take care of them.
Well, there is a boy here with some fish and bread.
What y'all do? The disciples are just in a frenzy. How are we going to feed all these people? Jesus, I got a plan. Jesus wasn't worried about anything. I can never picture Jesus. You see, I got in the garden when he was praying. Drops of blood popped through his skin because he was under so much pressure and stress. I don't think he was worried. He was just feeling extremely burdened. Now, if you're burdened, I'll give you my checkpoint on that. I'm talking about if Eddie's in the hospital with Jenny's hurt, when Jenny's blood pressure and all that dropped the last time she was in Maryville on a colonoscopy. I did mine great. Jenny does hers and the blood pressure just drops about there. And they said, this is called bottoming out. I thought, this is called throwing you through the wall if you don't do something with my wife. You know, I actually about had somebody by the arm. I'm notorious for that. And they came in and I put a bag up, started squeezing it. You know, just let it drip. They were getting fluids back in her. And it's like, this is not good. And I think, y'all got, and for a split second, I'm like, I can't lose my wife. I mean, we don't have to, this is, So I'm praying, and they're working, and there comes the vitals back up. But you say, well, boy, Edgar, you look concerned. I was! But I'm talking about worrying for nothing. Yeah, I'm not really wrong. I better get through that. Yeah, who cares? Cats might, but I mean, basically, would you get up and worry about something? We've got to have peace. Right now, it's like, just drop all our guards down and say, God, you come in. You're the Prince of Peace. Here's what he's promised. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. What kind of peace is that? He has everlasting peace. It doesn't go away. Not as the world is. We think we get peace from the world. It's short term. Do not let your heart be troubled. Can y'all condense that down? Don't what? Worry. Don't worry. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be fearful. Why? Because I'm going to give you peace. Consider this. According to this verse, what would Jesus do for us? Two things. He will
give
us peace, and what? Leave us peace. So consider these two answers right there. He'll give us peace and leave us with peace. In the story of Louis Zambini, who was a prisoner of war in World War II, he somehow had peace every day. How do you have peace? This strange-looking Japanese soldier called a bird would come in, and according to his story, he would take, Louis Zampini would later say this, he said he had a 5-inch belt, 2 inches thick, had a buckle, and he would slap him in the face every day. He said, I can remember blood squirting from my face as a buckle hit me. He was trying to break his spirit, and somehow, he said, there for a long time, I just wanted to kill that guy. He finally gets saved, and guess where Louis Zampini goes back to? Japan. And he hunts up the guards that used to torture him. He says, I hunted them all up so I could speak to them and do what? Forgive them. Gives them a hug and says, I'm really looking for this guy called the bird. Well, we didn't capture him, so he's not in prison. But now those, the people that are serving for war crimes, we hunted those up and said, Jesus has forgiven me, I forgive you, because I've got what? I mean, you'll weep when you see that, because I did. How can he have peace? He said he used to have nightmares from being tortured, and then he became an alcoholic. The alcohol helped him to drown out the sorrow, but that was the peace that the world gives, because it's not going to be very long. He said, I lost the memories, the nightmares, and he says, when I was drinking or drunk, I wouldn't have the nightmares. Well, why don't you just keep getting drunk and you'll have peace? No, that was peace that's short-lived, because he said, one night I dreamed about the bird, and I wanted to choke him to death, and I started choking him. I woke up in my mind, I woke up in reality, I was choking my wife beside me. My wife got scared, and I got scared to think, what is wrong with me? And she said, you can't go on like this. Of course, I'm telling a story, but I think it's appropriate. I just want to make you wait to watch it. She finally said, I'm going to divorce you before you kill me. You'll kill yourself.
felt like he lost everything.
Of course, he had the peace from the bottle. I call it a demon in a bottle.
Somehow, some people call it peace. It's not. If you've ever been around family as a family member that drinks, it's not peace. It's the world give him peace. We shall come. Finally, here's what his wife said. I'm just going to leave you be. I'm going to go to this. And this man named Billy Graham showed up to do a week crusade in a place called Los Angeles, perhaps you know. It lasted 8 weeks. The tent would hold 64,000. Excuse me, hold 6,400 people, I think, at the time. So they would just pack it out. Almost 7,000 people cramming in there. Louis's wife goes. She goes the first night, comes back safe. She says, Louis, I changed my mind. I don't want to divorce you, but you've got to do something for me. He says, I was so relieved. And I said, whatever you say, at least he said it brought a little bit of hope that she wasn't going to divorce me. She said, you got to go with me. He said, I went the next night. Got so mad, he got up and walked out. See, that was Satan still trying to pull Louis down to give him this false hope that the world had killed me. He said, I've been in the army all my life, mostly having people tell me what to do. I'm not going to have you tell me I'm a sinner. I know I am. He said, I'm not going to do that. Got about halfway to walk out. She finally said, you got to give us another chance. No. Finally, talking to me about 3 or 4 days later, he says, all right, I go. But when this man starts saying every head bowed, every eye closed, I am gone. He wasn't gone. He gave his life to Jesus. He says, I went home, poured the liquor down. So, girly magazine, out the window. Whatever it was, smoking, gone. He said, it instantly changed. And for some odd reason, I ducked through my footlocker to find this little testament they would give servicemen. Started reading it frantically, and the next thing you know, wow. He said, just confirmed everything. Changed man. He finally had peace. If you got it in your Bible, if you look at John chapter 20, it's just a few books over from Matthew. John chapter 20, the fourth gospel, 20th chapter says this. Verse 19, verse 21 and 26 have something in common. Chapter 20, verse 19. Jesus has come back from the dead. He's going to appear to his disciples because they're sort of troubled. He tells them not to be, but they don't have total peace. You say, aren't they saved? Yes, but even Christians worry, you know. As I told you a minute ago, we've all probably had some of those sleepless nights. Well, look at verse 19 of chapter 20, John. On the evening of the first day of the week, that's Sunday. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. They're being very precautious there. Why? They think they've killed Jesus, now they'll kill us next. So they got the doors locked. And guess what? Jesus came and stood among them and said what? Peace be with you. After he'd said this, he showed them his hands at his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said what?
Peace be
with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone of your sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. You're going to be like me. Not that the disciples can forgive sins. Don't misread that. But he's going to say, you're going to be my representatives in this world. Of course, there's always got to be someone. Maybe that's us right here. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, he had a twin brother. One of the 12 was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, hey, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it. Thus he got that nickname. We call him the what? This is Doubting Thomas. I got to see it for myself. You know what? In some ways, I'm proud of Thomas. You can't get saved off of what I do. My great-great-grandfather was a Christian. I'm happy for you, but are you? We can't be saved through osmosis. It doesn't filter down. I'm hereditary. My granddaddy was saved, so I am. That doesn't work that way. Thomas says, I got to see it for myself. I got to see it firsthand. A week later, then his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, here's Jesus comes up and stands among them. And guess what he says? Jesus, you have got to quit walking through locked doors. You're scaring us to death. That's why he says, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. So here's the phrase. You guessed it. Right there it is. Think Jesus wants us to have peace in our lives? I think so, because he keeps saying this to them. Peace be with you. And he says that to us today. So next time Jesus, he's not going to come to a locked door at your house, but he might tug at your heart and go, be worried. Don't be scared. Peace be with you. What did the angels constantly say? Don't be afraid. Fear not. I think Jesus wants to have peace. Absolutely. Peace be with you. So why don't we have peace in our lives? What's the problem? Jesus offers it. Why don't he offer it? Why don't we receive it? Well, the answer is maybe we have a mind on the flesh. We love to sin. And sin causes unrest. Sin doesn't give you peace. Romans 8:6 says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the spirit of life, spirit is life and peace. So let me get this right. Some people who are millionaires are miserable, and it's almost like they have a drop. They have no money. They're almost this. They're about the low point, and suddenly Christ comes into their life and they have peace. It's like, how do you have peace? I'd be miserable. I have what matters. So money can't buy me peace. How about this question? So why don't we have peace? Maybe it's because we're looking in the wrong place. How can we have peace in our lives then? Well, we've got to get our mind off the flesh and on the spiritual things. How can we have peace in our lives? Here's the answer. We must realize Jesus paid for our sins to bring us peace and ask him to forgive us and give us his peace. So let me get this. I can have peace if I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, and say, well, remember back the day when you first realized you were saved, when you first, how'd you feel? Peaceful. How can you go now? Well, it's either been pushed to the back or you started, okay, now that I've been, it's like you're in another world. But then you go back home. It's like coming back from on vacation. I just love it. You come back home now, back to the real world. And then we come back and we let the cares of this world and things get our attention and we sort of lose our peace. Well, what are we supposed to do? Just keep our eyes on Jesus all life? You know, I think you've got a good answer in that. Mm-hmm. But that's ignoring our troubles. Okay, for lack of a better word, yeah, you do. Ignore them. I didn't say totally just be negligent. Don't do that at all. Let me give you an illustration of peace. Anybody ever ran out of gas in their life? Shame. Mark, you garage man. I've done this before. I rode my Ford Tempo to Giles. I'd gone back and forth. We went to church up there every Sunday, and then we went to start a Christian school. I was making that trip 6 days out of the seven. I could just get in the car after a while, start it, and I'd just go like his car, drive itself up there. You know, it's like 6 out of 7 days. Well, I was coming back one day, and here's full, here's empty. Here's empty. Here's where the thing was, I believe. There's about a quarter of a tank past empty. You know what? I had, what have we been talking about? I had what? Peace until I what? Looked at what? I never had any more peace after that. I was driving along, it's a really, beautiful day. Thank God. I'm about out of gas. Oh, man. Lord, please don't. Car never ran any different than it had been. Never changed, but I was now what? I was nervous. I was worried. My heart was what? Heavy. I'm going to be walking. I know. Oh, Lord, please. Right along. There's a gas station. Oh, how old is it? But you know, it's a little bit high. Maybe I can make it to the next one to save a penny. Lord. I really got to work to you sometimes, don't I? Y'all never done that before, but I do. You know, I can make it to... Now I'm there 5 miles more to save a penny. Woo! And I finally made it to the gas station, never ran out. As soon as I filled it back up. Okay, just got a question for you. I had peace when the tank was filled. I had peace before I knew it was almost out of gas. What happened in between? I was worried. By worrying, what did I change?
I didn't put one drop of gas in the car my rear end. Didn't change the way that car ran. Only thing I did, my jewelry was wrong. Today, if you're sitting here with your jewelry wrong, you don't have peace. It's your fault.
Thanks, Edgar.
But I got good news. I know the Prince of Peace.
The Lord. You just don't understand.
I'm sure the Lord doesn't understand. Disciples did that. You're in good company if you do.
Here in the boat, waves tossing. Jesus is asleep. See, he's not worried about running out of gas. Jesus is asleep. Disciples up there, we could die. Shake him up. Jesus, don't you care what happens to him? What a slap in the face of Jesus. Don't you love us? Don't you care? Do something.
You know I love you. I know, care. I'm just teaching you. I was just letting you almost run out of gas to see where you'd come. At least you didn't come to me. But this is my father, man.
Be still.
Wait, stop. Oh, my gracious. You calm the wave. I can steal your heart. I can steal it, S-T-I-L-L. And I can steal it. Good luck. Give me your heart. You ever had somebody just steal your breath away? How can we have peace in our lives? We've got to realize Jesus favors and is inviting in. And when we've got to stay, okay, consider this verse. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Tell you what. The Bible later says in Isaiah, the next few verses, it says like this. Here's Jesus. For God hath laid on him the iniquity of all of us. Well, how much do you have to pay now? None, because you laid it all on him. He's paid for all our sins. I don't to give you peace. If I said, your mortgage payment, it's paid. Car payment, it's paid. Well, I'm still worried about it's taken care of. Wow. Feel my peace. That's what you go to. He's paid for your sin. Let that be your peace. Yeah, I still got everyday things. Well, that's okay. Those are called responsibilities. Not worry. Don't ever worry. Keep thinking. Consider this next one then. Little Q&A on the next part too. How about this? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you because he trusts in you. If you trust in Jesus and keep your mind, we've got to keep our mind on Jesus and trust him. You know, Mark reminds me back there, I had Kevin, his brother on my baseball team. If you ever get in there and you strike out, as you as a coach, you didn't have to be a brilliant coach, what would you tell a player that took a swing at, you said, you've got to keep your what? How about that? Isn't that amazing? Keep your eye on the ball. Come on, you got to focus. Okay. Watch it as it comes out of the pitcher's hand. There it comes. Yeah, I got it. Focusing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, enduring the cross. You got to focus on Jesus. And you're going to be like me driving my car. Don't worry about the gas tank. I'm going to get there. I'm not going to worry. There's not a thing I can do about it now. I'll either get there or won't get there. I'm okay. It's all right. It's funny how some people dwell. They focus on the problems. I want you to focus on the power. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. My mind's got to stay on Jesus, not quit worrying so much. But can we have peace all the time? Bible says this. Yes, we can, since Jesus is the Lord of peace. Consider this verse. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Well, how long can I have that? Is that short-term peace? No, you're confused now with the world. The world makes you feel good for a little while. Jesus makes you feel good. How long? Let me check this out and I'll tell you. We must let him rule in our hearts and tell us what to do. For how long? Consider. Perfect peace in their life. Got one at the bottom. Can we have peace all the time? Here we go. I want you to see how long this verse tells me. We can have the Lord of peace. Next one. All the time. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. What?
All the time.
In every way. I don't know if you know it or not, but you sort of convict people, which is good. When you stay calm, and they don't. I guess Queen Elizabeth made it famous, or the Great Britons did once. They began this whole thing. Relax and what? Stay calm. You ever seen that? Of course, people have copied that all over. Just stay calm.
It's okay.
How can you do that? How can you sit there in a hospital? I was doing this one day. I was sitting in a hospital, waiting on you, reading a little bit. I'm okay. Somebody came, you doing okay? I said, yeah, doing pretty good. What are you in here for? Well, my wife's having gallbladder surgery. Oh. Yeah, it's been a different kind of a morning. My dad died at 7:30. My wife's been operated on at 9. How can you be smiling? I got peace. See, my daddy's in heaven now. And my wife's got, God's going to take care of her. Well, jump turn, bite my fingernails, worry, will I get drunk? I choose not to. And if God wants to take Jenny home, I know where she is. But I'm not going to worry about her. Although a nurse in there did give her something to think about just before she went in. I was in there. Daddy has already made it to heaven. Jenny's in there. And all they're going to do is take a little lock, pull the gallbladder out, right? It wouldn't come out. Had the incision again the other way. But we went in. They were prepping her. And this nurse came in like, how are y'all? We're doing pretty good. We're sitting in the hospital getting ready for operation. Oh, you know what? Let me tell you what happened to a friend of mine. They opened her up to just check on her. Filled with cancer. She died on the table. Thank you so much for sharing. I hope that doesn't happen to you. Have you ever sailed out a window? Because you're about to. She left and I told the doctor, wow, who was that? I mean, she's in here talking about death. Jenny's having trouble with the peace part right now. What if I don't wake up? At least you'll get a good night's rest. I said, Jenny, you're going to be okay. All right. I'm going to close with this. It's sitting right over here, object lesson. Let's just look at the nativity scene real quick. Each element of the nativity is important. Here we go. This first person of the nativity. I think I got him over here. Joseph. Joseph's from the house of David. Remember we read about him before? This man's pretty good. Righteous man. His great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. You know those guys? King David's my great-great-great-great-granddaddy. Wow. Mary's lucky to have you. You got that right. I wouldn't go quite that far. Next. Mary. Can't be her. I won't have to pick them all up, but Mary's the obedient servant. She's right here, humbly. Oh, Mary's the obedient servant that says, as you say, God. Next. The shepherds, you're representing the poor, lowly, and humble. The magi that brought the gifts in. They're the wealthy, the elite, the powerful. And finally, even the lowly what? I sometimes wonder if I don't fit in this category. The animals represent all. You ever realize in that nativity, we've got a person who represents the lineage, sort of like heredity there, coming down in the lineage of David. Got an obedient person. Got shepherds who are just watching out, abiding in their fields, and suddenly they see a star and the angels sing, and it's like, wow, I'll never forget this night. Go. No, I'm not going to. Okay, it's your loss. But you could go and see the Prince of Peace, and so they decide to. They didn't have a lot. These guys, on the same hand, they come and they bring gifts. Animals. Why are they laying Jesus in a trough? Maybe the animals were waiting for him to be gone so they could be fed. I don't know. He is the bread of life. Maybe the animals are there to bring promise, or maybe the animals are there just to say, yes, it's amazing.
It's actually home for the animals.
So he's taking over their home. How much more humble can you be than that? Well, let me ask you, which one of these people do we sometimes feel? Maybe you feel like you're Joseph. My great-great-great-great-granddaddy was a preacher, therefore I am going to heaven. True or false?
False.
False. You don't get to heaven by osmosis. My daddy was a great-great-great-great-whatever, and now sometimes maybe that works. Only for sports, only for, you say, my daddy had anything. I mean, I guess Archie Manning having two sons. Archie's the quarterback of the Saints, has two sons, Eli and Peyton. I don't know if you've ever heard of those guys. I wonder what they talk about at Thanksgiving. That's a pretty blessed family of football. Well, I'm like my dad, and I'm my daddy. Okay, I understand. But you can't do that in spiritual things. Jesus, I'm here because my granddad was a Christian. Got to know him firsthand.
Joseph just reminds me, and Joseph was a righteous man, don't get me wrong, but it just reminds me, good family doesn't save you. You got to make a decision yourself. How about this? Maybe you're the sheep. I'm just too poor. I don't have anything to give God. I'm just worthless. Don't you ever say that. God says, I made you and I don't make junk. I made you. Don't you dare say that you're worthless. You're valuable to me. Well, I don't even have a home. Put her there. Jesus, I don't have a place to lay my head. Or maybe you're this. I don't need anything. I got it made. I'm wealthy. Be careful. Remember the wealthy man at Jesus said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He finally went through that, obeyed the commandments, do all that. He says, I've done all that. That was a question mark. But how about this? Then go sell what you have and give it to the poor. Wealthy man, rich man walked away. Say that. Riches won't get you to heaven. And maybe you feel like this. Just knowing God created. God's my Father. Have you ever accepted Jesus personally? Know that God's my Father. God's not the Father. And Jesus himself turned and says to the Pharisees, you are your father, the devil. So just because we're one of God's children, God made you that you become his child when you accept his son. Well, I'll say Mary to last. Mary says, she was obedient. She just said, yielding to God, that's what saves you. An opportunity to be yielded again. All right. Decision time. Consider these verses in closing. I've got this. I'm the Lord's servant. Mary said, I'm yours. Use me. I give myself to you. Remember the other person we talked about around Christmas time? How about the innkeeper? He said this. He really turned Jesus away, saying that don't have room for you. So Mary's obedient. The innkeeper says this. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there's no room. Now, we don't have a cloak from the innkeeper, but they were turned away. I can picture him just saying, I don't have room for Jesus. So it's your choice. What do we do with Jesus? Good question for all of us as we begin this new year. What will we do this Christmas with Jesus? I ask you to consider this today with me. I picked no better time. We're going to observe what we call communion. And as a closing prayer here, I want the last few minutes to just be simply quiet. And if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, and you say, what is this communion all about? Well, it's about the peace that we have. So as you partake of this bread today, as the plate comes by you, I want us first to just spend a moment in prayer and say, Jesus, cleanse my heart. Examine me. If there be anything way in my way from you, would you remove that? Just make sure we have eye to eye, so to speak, or heart to heart with Jesus. Just say, God, it's been a long time. Maybe it's been a while since we've talked to him. So let's pray and lift this up to Jesus. Dear Jesus, today we need peace. The world clamors for it, and yet you are the center of peace, the Prince of Peace, the Giver of Peace. Jesus, today as we pass this plate around representing what you did on the cross for us, you gave your body. You broke that body, had them break it, but yet they didn't take your life. You gave it up for us. So Jesus, today as we pass this plate, would you just search our hearts, and if there be any wayward thought or act in our mind that we've done wrong, Jesus, you offer us forgiveness. So, and don't let the devil rob our joy, rob our peace. We just feel like, Lord, I don't deserve it. Help us to not be that way because you came to save sinners for such as we are. We're who you're looking for. So, Jesus, may we rejoice in the fact that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can have peace through you. Would you bless this plate as we pass it around with you? The bread that symbolizes the body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name.